Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, humans, and welcome to Un Psicoactivo live from Tijuana and from Scotland on That UFO Podcast. Welcome, Andy, to another weird Monday. How's it going, man?
It's good. Remember, I am based in the northeast of England, which everyone forgets because I am Scottish, but I'll allow that faux pas, Pavel.
That's right. You live in Newcastle. That's right. That's right. Yeah. I forgot. Apologies for that.
I'll let that one slide.
How's your weekend, man?
As I let the motorbike go past, I hit the shed. It was busy. I took a few days off the whole UFO thing just with it was a busy few weeks and family stuff and all that jazz. But we're here today. I knew the Monday show was coming up. We'd be on here talking UFO stuff. And I think originally I'd looked and thought there wouldn't be loads to discuss. And I was going to grab some listener questions. And then throughout the course of the last couple of hours, actually, there's quite a lot of news stories and stuff. So looking forward to hopefully folks getting involved. And I hate to be that guy, folks, but like, subscribe, comment. It really helps idiots like us do this kind of stuff on a regular basis. It helps the algorithm and all that jazz. And I watched part of the World Cup final at the weekend as well. We won't go too much into football, but a really bad game.
Horrible, horrible. Mm. That's about all the time we're given to that.
Well, it was quite funny seeing Trump at the end.
Oh, when he walked on the
stage, and it was like, everyone was like, how long is he going to spend on the stage? And he kind of turned around really awkwardly. And like, Infantino
you were just giving me shit about having Trump derangement syndrome, dude. Yeah. How can you not when he does things like that, bro? It's like, he looks like a toddler.
I gotta be in there.
You know,
it was funny. He just looked really confused. But football. Spain won, all good. And I've got my t-shirt on tonight, folks, in here. I'm being very casual because it's pretty toasty warm. So if my face looks a little red, I apologize. It's a hot one.
I've been sick the last 2 days. I'm just coming out of it. My voice is a little grave, if you guys haven't noticed. I didn't do a thing. I just watched movies. I just ate. I watched Close Encounters for the first time. I hadn't seen it.
What were your thoughts?
Well, given that I already seen Disclosure Day and I saw it before that one, this one is a massive improvement compared to Disclosure Day, in my opinion. And it still holds up. There were a lot of things that I learned about ufology lore, whether it's real or not, that are used in that movie that surprised me. Like Project Serpo was used there. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that, I was like, oh, that's straight out of ufology.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I liked it.
I wasn't sure if you would. So like, I saw The Shawshank Redemption years. Have you seen that? Yeah.
No.
No.
I haven't.
I won't spoil it for folks. It's been out 30 years, but I saw it years after it had come out. So I had seen lots of movies that sort of copied the idea. So when I saw it, I was like, oh, I really enjoyed it. But it didn't have the same impact because I had seen other films that took notes from that. But then you've got to appreciate, well, that was the original. That was the first one to have that kind of ending. Close Encounters, I just wondered, watching a much older film, how would it hold up for you now? even like with like the UFOs and how they look, it's a really odd design for a lot of the craft.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting to be so fluid, because the Richard Dreyfuss character, when I saw clips and everything, I was like, oh, so this guy must be like some really interesting like cop or investigator. That no, he's just somebody who had a sighting. Just like I like that. That was kind of fresh in my head. I really liked it.
Yeah. Close Encounters out of 10.
I give it a 9 out of 10. Okay. Actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I've still never been back to see Disclosure Day. I watched Close Encounters again on the way to see Disclosure Day on the train. But yeah, I'll catch Disclosure Day when it's out on TV and give it another watch and a run over. But yeah, no, cool.
Okay, so there is something that happened just today. Dan Farrow was on a show called The Carl Stefanovich Show, who apparently in Australia, he's like quite mainstream. There's a lot of people from the community that are praising the guy for having Dan Farrow on and for talking about UFOs. So according to them, it's good news that he's doing it. There's some small clip from the account Wow on X from this interview where Dan Farrow alludes to the full truth being revealed by the end of the year. And I just want to get your opinion on that, because I find it very interesting. I have some things to say, but let's watch the clip first. So here it is, Dan Farrow on the, what's it called? Carl Stefanovich. Okay, here it is.
This process the White House has put in motion, this is a rolling process that is going to continue until the full truth is out. Like, that is 100% the case. There's another tranche of evidence being planned for release in the near future. I was told by a couple officials just a couple days ago, they think it's just a matter of like a couple more weeks for the next tranche. And this process has been put in motion that I mentioned, where these three members of Congress have been empowered to bring whistleblowers to the White House to have their non-disclosure agreements waived on a case-by-case basis. As that starts to happen, and as the White House gets more access to information, this rolling disclosure process is going to get escalated. Think by the end of the year, like, next level extraordinary stuff is going to be released. This process.
Okay. So that's yet another really, really wild claim, strong claim. Prediction reminds me of Barber when he said, by the end of the year, you're going to have disclosure. What do you think about this?
So I suppose it depends what next level really means to a lot of folks. So he's getting at big things. Let me put it this way. Okay, I asked people on X, what does next level look like to you? Because next level to me and you, Pavel, might look like different things. Here's some of the stuff. Lee Burridge said, we only have had the one level. We need the videos and photos we keep being told exist. Fettuccine Split, who does a lot of the really cool memes and stuff online, said, personally, I'd rather see a tranche that goes all in on a single case, something like the Tic Tac incident, instead of trying to cover everything at once. Give us the full picture, extended interviews, first-hand witness testimony, supporting evidence, additional footage, radar data, and every relevant detail. A deep dive into one well-documented case would be far more compelling than a broad overview of dozens of fuzzy videos. That's a pretty good point. Before you get like mine and yours, like, what's your take on that idea, that if we got one massive deep dive, how would that compare?
I guess it depends on which case you pick, because yeah, Tic Tac could be one of them, but I would much rather have, like, for example, Rendlesham be completely investigated, because there's a lot of people that are still alive from that. And that case has a lot of roadblocks, let's say, and a lot of different information that was new after the initial report. So digging into that one really and what really happened there, I think would be massive for this, but I don't think they're going to do it.
A few other folks mentioned biologics and craft, no more photos and videos. Gordon Cooper's film of a UFO landing at Edwards Air Force Base in 1957 would do it. yeah, and other folks, again, photos of craft and non-human beings, the bar is currently so low. For me, it would have to be something, I don't know what, it would have to be something, though, that hits the mainstream and it stays there. And I mean for, like, weeks. Like, it could be a video. I don't think a photograph would do it. I don't even think files would do it, unless it was like presidents' names, interviews with recordings. I think it would have to be a really strong video, potentially, that the mainstream hold up and go, wait a minute, what is this? Because whether people like it or not, nothing at all that we have gotten so far, and this isn't opinion, this is literally the facts, nothing that we've been shown so far has stuck with the mainstream media, or any media, whatever you want to call it, legacy media, mainstream media, big, small, short. You know, you've not got Rogan, you don't have your Lex Friedman's, you know, Stephen Bartlett's. None of these guys are doing podcast after podcast or show or debate show talking about the same thing over and over. We get something and then it goes away. It would have to be something huge for me that would be next level.
Yeah, and they're saying the full truth. That phrase is important. We need to keep an eye on that, because we know, and I think you would agree there, that, for example, what Dan Farr presented in his documentary is not the full truth. It's part of it. Some of it might be even curated, let's say, you know, but it's not the full truth. There's a lot of different avenues to explore with this stuff. For me, for example, not taking in consideration the events of, for example, OSAP and James Lakatsky and all of that stuff, that's a mistake. I think that should be also talked about officially. And also, this is my personal wish, is that alongside disclosure of whatever UFOs are and whether there's contact with non-human intelligence or not, I think there also needs to be a disclosure of everything that governments have studied about psi phenomena, because for me those things, I think, and this is an opinion, those things go together, but not in the way as in oh, aliens can communicate telepathically with you. No, in the way of humans have a certain potential and skills that have been forgotten throughout history, and there's also this contact with non-human intelligence, and it's not being disclosed. And it's actually some of the most classified stuff that the government has. Dr. Andrea Puharich's work, about 98-99% of it is still classified to this day. And those need to be declassified as well, not just this, I think.
That's still too far away for me. That's up there with all the experience or stuff.
I know, but Dan is talking about the full truth, man. Yeah, I don't think we're going to get it.
Nah, he means we are not alone. Confirmation. That's what he means. He doesn't mean the full truth that would take years and decades to come out, because there's not going to be a rollout of the truth. I think what he's meaning, and I suppose that would be a good follow-up, would be the we are not alone, the confirmation, and move forward from there. So it's no longer a question for anyone. People watching this and listening to this, it's almost definitely not a question for them. But for the general public, there's still a doubt, a stigma. You know, are they here? What is here? The idea that, yeah, and we're still waiting on Luna's thing, aren't we? This whole, there's going to be confirmation that this phenomena is real, or there's going to be something that proves this phenomena is real. We've not had that yet, have we?
Nope.
Unless it was Chris Bledsoe sticking forks to the wall.
Yeah, that happened, didn't it? Yeah. I was told that's sort of like a party trick, isn't it?
So I had loads of folks ask me to comment on this. And I've seen loads of people as well online who are asking, you know, the usual, at Grok, tell me, is this real? Tell me what this is. Anyone who commented, it was telling them that it's static electricity and cutlery, like spoons and forks, already hold a lot of static friction. And it looked like they were placing them on doors that would be metal as well. So it wasn't the best example of it to be done. I just don't see the correlation of, I've had this incredible UFO experience. I have had was it Crohn's disease that Bledsoe had cured?
Yeah.
By orbs. And now it's given me the power to stick a fork to the wall. I you know, that's a shit X-Men movie. I don't see that correlation there at all. And it does look like a trick. And it's almost like, what are you trying to prove by doing that? And you get people who eat it up. But I'm sorry, there's better ways to demonstrate this stuff. So, yeah, for me, again, looking... And you can't say I'm a skeptic, for the love of God, what I'm doing. I think I can be skeptical. But when I see someone with a metal fork and a metal door, you need to give me some better examples. I did, I'll be honest, immediately go into the kitchen and get a fork out my drawer. And I tried it with my concrete wall. And sad to say, Pavel, it fell straight to the floor.
You know, I tend to be wary of people who are not skeptical, Andy. So you're good, man.
Yeah.
You have to. You have to.
Yeah. I how often do I say the same thing, Pavel, that when someone never says, I don't know, or can't be sure, then And yeah, the handle of that fork hit me in the toe and it was pretty sore. So
somebody in the comments said, fork in hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Forking around. Yep. All that, all the good stuff. But yeah, yeah, I mean, and you know what? Fair play. If people, I think there's some really interesting aspects of the Psy phenomena. I think the Psy Games is a really interesting concept. And I was meant to speak to Hakim Isler, who's the one of the guys from there, and we just couldn't get times arranged at the time. Hopefully we get that done soon. But I just think some of this stuff looks very performative and not very... God, what's the word? The heat's killing me here. Not very useful for day-to-day application. You know, again, like... Look at this. I'm going to prove to... Imagine the general public seeing that video. Can you prove to me that you've got Psy abilities? Yes, watch this. I'm going to stick this fork to the door. All right. Yeah. You know, that doesn't show anything. But yeah, I won't bang on about the Bledsoe. I won't bang the Bledsoe drum right now because I give them enough shit recently, I think.
So, I don't know if, you know, because they keep doing this. There's a lot of different people that keep... making predictions like this. At what point are we gonna start like asking them for, you know, put up, or you know, at what time?
What, people, Congress, or
well, there's different, right? Like there's the Mark Christopher Lees, there's Jake Barber who did the same thing. Dan Farah, Luna said that we're gonna know, find out for sure that the phenomenon is real. I guess everybody, you know.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So I suppose there's a few predictions right now. I'm just writing them down. So Luna, going to see something soon. You had Rush with his 60 to 90 day window.
Yeah.
We are almost at the end of that, and I've got some comments on that. What else have we had? Farah has given us the end of the year.
By the end of the year, which I think it's moving the goalpost a little bit from what everybody's doing, or everybody said before him.
Maybe he's got a director's cut coming out of his documentary about then. Who knows? Maybe that's the extra files. It's literally extra MP4 files for his documentary. What we had, Barber has a thing came and went, but it sounds like Skywatcher is no longer, definitely not public anyway, and has been taken in by the military. It looks like, I think that was Michael Herrera I spoke to, and he said that.
And those two parts of the UFO files that Burleson pointed towards that we spoke about, that seems like, to me, that's what Skywatcher, if that's real, has been doing. But more on the secret side now.
Yeah. And obviously Mark Christopher Lee had his prediction, which came and went on the 8th of July. He said he's now walked away from UFO disclosure and is concentrating on consciousness and Psy. I'm guessing that's his next documentary, King of Psy. So yeah, we've had a few predictions come and go. And we're currently waiting on Luna and Grush. Can I comment on the Grush one? Because this is something I bring up a lot, but a lot of folks ask about as well. So Grush said at the beginning of May, I think it was, that within 60 to 90 days, do you remember the exact wording? There was going to be some kind of major progress in the disclosure push. It was something like that. He wasn't overcommittal. It wasn't like there's going to be something explosive that will blow the lid off it. But it was like it was something coming that was really going to move this forward. We are almost at the end of that. And unless we get something in the next kind of 2 weeks, that window kind of goes. And I wonder, was there maybe, did we perhaps look into that almost too literally? In the sense that there was something definitely coming within 60 to 90 days? Or was he trying to predict what was potentially going to happen and he wasn't directly involved?
To me, it sounded like he was involved because he sounded really concise. And, you know, I think that given that he's working directly with Burleson, some of the requests that Burleson has made, I think those might be part of what Grush is helping him do. And those are not part of the UFO files. Those are separate. And they're going to be dropped separate if they are dropped. So,
and he did say that, didn't he? That the thing is not, it was because it was on the interview. I can't remember the woman's name. And he said, because he wasn't too interested in the files, it was before the first drop of files. He said he had seen what was going to come out. It wasn't particularly good. It didn't interest him. And what he was working on is not the UFO files, which was interesting in itself. Pavel, I feel you know more on that than you're letting on, to be honest, but you know.
No, I don't. I'm just... It feels like the 1952 recording that Burleson is requesting. Yep. It feels like that might be one of the things that Grush is trying to get out. I don't know if he heard it before. I don't know. I have no idea. But it feels like that's the case. And also, they did Burleson did the request for the Virginia material, whatever they have. And that should also be interesting. So, but no, I don't know. No, I do have something for a later topic though, but I'll tell you in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. On that though, again, though, I think we touched on this before, but for anyone who didn't hear, and I don't know if your opinion's changed, on the reel-to-reel audio from the 1952 flyover, what would have to be on that for it to be exceptional and worth going after? That doesn't make it sound like one of those NASA briefings from the drops.
If it's very well described, as in who's talking, what's their position, the content of the conversation, that will it will depend on that specifically, on how descriptive it is, on how rattled the people are who are talking about it because it's something really serious or something that they don't understand. And you can tell in audio, even if it's old audio, you can tell when somebody is in distress, I think. So a lot of those details, I think, we're going to have to keep an eye out. I don't know if that is what Grush is, one of the things Grush is trying to get out. I would think that he either already listened to it or somebody he really trusts did, and that's why they're going after it.
Yeah. I hope so. It would have to be exceptional, and the language would be a big thing for me in it. I've said that before. They have to mention extraterrestrial. They have to explicitly say in the audio, this is not, what with the 50s, they wouldn't be discussing China in the 50s, would they? That wouldn't even be on their radar. Pardon the pun, like China wouldn't be an issue. So it would be about the Soviets. They would be discussing Soviet, German, maybe the Germans are just lost the war, so they wouldn't be discussing Japanese really either. So I suppose they would have to be really explicit in why it wasn't certain other things. And some of the details around speeds and, like you say, some of the reaction for me. So it would have to be exceptional. I'll hold out hope on that.
You know, if they're talking to one of the pilots who I'll probably engage with one of these things back then, that would also be interesting to me because what convinced me was listening to Fravor talk about his experience with the Tic Tac. And if we had something similar to that, but in audio from a pilot who just went through it, that would be for me important as well.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. So, but there's been a lot of timeline stuff this year. So we've got Dan Farah's, the files are going to get better by the end of the year. Luna's stuff soon. Yeah. Grush and Burleson stuff. So there's still more stuff to come and potentially disappoint us in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah. So on my thumbnail, though, I talked about something that I left for this day specifically because this came out late last week. There was an interview that Dr. Phil did with Bryce Sable and Christopher Mellon. And before we go to that, I want to hear your take on what you think Dr. Phil is doing. Have you taken a look at what he's been going through, the people who he's talked to? What do you think about him potentially being the guy that probably the administration picked? Because we have an indication that it might have been the case.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. He's got a big following across multiple social platforms. Obviously, in the US, he's really famous. He's less famous or well-known here in the UK. I don't know how prominent he is in the US, like, modern day. Like, in before this, in 2025, 2026, does Dr. Phil still have a platform? Like, is he still on TV?
He has his YouTube channel, and I believe that he is still on TV. I'm not sure on that because I don't really follow the guy, but he's always been present, at least for me, because I live in the border right next to San Diego. So we do get American television here, and I grew up watching, well, not watching, but like knowing that the guy existed, just like Oprah, something similar, you know, like.
Most of my Dr. Phil knowledge is from the Kill Tony podcast and Adam Ray doing the Dr. Phil impression.
That's a wonderful one. I love that one.
Yeah, I have seen a lot of Dr. Phil parody, so I'll try not to get them confused. But no, he's certainly coming out all guns blazing. He's very much, you know, in on this. He's talking about, and the viral clips I've seen, he's talking about the conspiracy, the cover-up. They've hidden this from you. These things are real. If I don't overcomplicate this and don't overthink it, this is a mainstream guy who has been picked because of the people who follow him, trusting him, and being tasked with getting the word out there that UFOs are real. Big cover-up has happened. Pay attention, folks. And if you've got a plan to roll out disclosure over weeks, months, and years, then that's perhaps one way to do it.
And now we have an indication that he wasn't just picked by anybody. Apparently, Trump was involved because from the official Need to Know account, Mr. Bryce Sable wrote the following. He says, after the taping, Dr. Phil told Chris Mellon and Bryce Sable that his early first look at the Tranche 4 release came with a handwritten message from President Trump that read, quote, have fun with this, end quote. It raises an intriguing question. Is Dr. Phil being set up to become Trump's most trusted public communicator on disclosure? Can that even work? Or will he be seen as just another Kid Rock and Lee Greenwood style?
Yeah, because Dr. Phil confirmed it on a tweet on the 10th of July himself saying, you're hearing from me first. I was granted early access to the documents, and that was the day those came out. So even on the day, I think he put that tweet out just before the drop. So he knew it was coming out. And like you say, Trump's... I know there's been mixed. I think one of your... one of the YouTube comments, Pavel, before we went live, was one of your guys saying that they're reading that have fun with this almost in a derisory way, that it's not to be taken seriously. But of course, you could look at it the other way around, as in... Dr. Phil, run with the ball here. Here's the UFO stuff and go for it. It doesn't look to me, and I apologize if I'm wrong here, it doesn't look like Dr. Phil is, to use a Scottish phrase, taking the piss. When he's talking about this, he seems to have covered it pretty seriously. Is that a fair point?
I think it is. But and when you read that, it's if it's like on the right angle, have fun with this, reads as in, this is exciting. This is fascinating. Have fun with it, you know? And if Trump told him that, does that mean Trump already knows a lot of this stuff and is also fascinated by it? That's an interesting question, right?
It could also be, not to dampen it, but that he spoke to Phil, because I know a lot of folks are saying Dr. Phil's not a real doctor, but for the sake of this, he's a medical professional, that Trump spoke to Phil. They've had a conversation about the UFO stuff. Maybe Dr. Phil spoke to Trump and was like, oh, I'm really into that kind of thing. Trump went, well, you know, we're releasing lots of stuff. And then he went, oh, I would love to get to see some of that. And Trump went, well, I'll get you it early. I'll give you it first. There's some new stuff coming. And then he's handed him and went, have fun with this. as a little bit of a, you know, there's the stuff I said you would get because I know you're going to like it. That's the way I could probably read into that. But again, from the way Dr. Phil has run with it, it's not been a bad thing for the UFO topic, has it? I don't see that it's done any damage, at least.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, I know that there's a lot of people that have problems with Dr. Phil. Anybody who's a celebrity has haters. Like, that's a given when you're a celebrity. But, you know, when I saw him the first time, I didn't know how he was going to take on the topic. Then I saw that he was actually taking it seriously, and I was like, okay, the more the merrier, you know, and the bigger the platform, the better. If they're doing it seriously, I'm good with it, you know?
You know what? It sucks to be bored, but when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yeah, I'm all for any, I say any celebrity, but if someone's using their platform and they've got a huge platform to talk about the subject in a serious way, that isn't a bad thing for me. I've been asked to go. I'll wait until it happens. It's not a huge show by any means. But there's a podcast in the UK that's got a reasonable number of viewers, and it's nothing to do with the UFO topic. And I had a conversation with them today because she's a host who normally talks about all kind of current affairs things. And she was like, what's happening with this UFO stuff? What's going on? And she wants me to go on and speak on this podcast about Area 51, Roswell, what's going on just now. And it was interesting to hear someone who really has a real base level knowledge of the UFO topic. You know, they know Bob Lazar, Area 51, Roswell, that's it. And they are like, is something happening with this? So again, if it's starting to hit the UK shores, is that thing starting to go a little bit more mainstream? I think there's still some work to be done there. But perhaps, again, it is just that slowly, slowly catchy monkey thing that it's going to take time.
Yeah, and we saw this Dan Farah interview as well. So in Australia, it's starting to pick up too.
Mm. Yeah. So again, like I had this conversation with Clint Weldon weeks ago on this show around this going mainstream or not going mainstream. And he was all for this has hit the mainstream. And I was like, it's not yet, not for me, not in the way that it'll sustain. But I think we're starting to see just really small chips at this. Someone saying I should do that show. I will be almost definitely going on that show sometime in September. But yeah, nice. So it'll be fun. I'll talk about it, hopefully in the right way. I was on the news on Saturday morning. I was asked to do GB News in the UK. Not everyone's favourite news channel here, but again, what news channel is. But they were talking about the planet that's been found with the helium-rich atmosphere and is there potential for life out there. But again, I wish they could have got an astrophysicist or someone on, but they got me on, and they just, you know, asking about the UFO topic or aliens on top of it. And the host, the male host on the show, was really knowledgeable in terms of not talking down about it. He corrected before I joined the idea that this planet, we've not proven alien life anywhere, but there are signs of this planet could host life in some way, shape or form. And he was really speaking really well about that. And I think other than one interaction on BBC radio in the last couple of months or even years, I've never really had a bad experience on a show where the host has been an absolute bell end. I won't name the podcast because it's a new one that someone's got. But yeah. I can't even actually remember the name of the new podcast.
It's funny that that's a bad word, but in the US, they don't see it as a bad word. They don't even get what it is.
What one?
Bell end?
Oh, bell end. Yeah, bell end. The end of a bell. End. Penis. Yeah. and do you know what? It's funny. Like, I know, like, I'll just address, like, Dean Itz is like, oh, yikes, Andy, not GB News. But do you know what? It's like a right-leaning UFO, UK news program here. But much like the US, where News Nation is the only news channel that regularly covers the UFO topic, GB News in the UK is the only one that cares to talk about the UFO subject here. So, to be honest, the last person they had on I saw was Mark Christopher Lee. So I'd rather be on there representing the topic personally, hoping that it's spoken about well than what I heard that time. So, yeah, I'll go on any platform and talk about the subject appropriately.
All right. So let's move on with your interview with Peter Skafish, Andy, because there were a bunch of things that were discussed there that I want to go through. Mm-hmm. The very first one is something I already told you. He seemed a little too optimistic for my taste. Maybe I'm wrong, but why do you think he's being so optimistic about the Scientific Advisory Council being set up? And do you agree with some of the takes that he gave? Let's start with that.
So the proof is in the pudding with this Scientific Advisory Council, because we've now had so many organizations, so many people, so many promises, and as of yet, most of them haven't come through or come true or yield or bore any fruit, right? Look at Skywatcher. That was one that I'll admit I got excited about. And that's fine. You're allowed to be like, oh, this sounds like it might do something. And let's be fair, the fact that it's been absorbed by the military industrial complex and taken in-house maybe shows that they were onto something. But again, that was a conversation we had many times over the last couple of years about Skywatcher, that are they out there promoting themselves with a view to not speak to us, the public, but they're trying to show folks in the background, look, we can do something. You know what we can do. You might want us to work with you and bring us back in. And maybe that's what happened with Skywatcher. So people's fingers have been burned by so much across this topic. And I totally get even the dickheads in the comments who are like, oh, fucking UFOs and aliens that are watching UFO podcasts and hate them. But that's fine. So when you've got this council, it's a really interesting mix of disciplines across it. I think the headlines have been Avi Loeb, who is a divisive figure for a lot of folks. Some people like him, some people hate him. Michael Shermer is one, because he is a skeptic. You'll get folks who are like, that's a really good thing to have him on there. But then you've also got folks who are saying, nope, he's not a skeptic. He's an out-and-out debunker. He's not skeptical at all. I am still having Michael Shermer on the podcast, folks. It'll be happening in the coming days, if not week. I hope to have a good conversation about it. But he seems to me a little bit of a canary in the coal mine for this topic. That if and when you see Shermer's thoughts on this change, that's a really positive sign. If we're still sitting here in months or weeks and nothing's changed from Shermer's position, then is the council doing its job? That for me is better than having someone who is a super happy clapper UFO cheerleader on there who just wants everything to be a UFO or a flying saucer, because they're going to see everything as unidentified and everything as anomalous. If you've got a guy on there whose reputation has been built on tearing that down, the first time he goes, actually, this is interesting, that's a sign, and that's a really good thing for me. So I think Peter sees the interdisciplinary approach of the council as a really positive thing. I think he sees folks like Gary Nolan. I mean, here's my opinion. Gary Nolan's a really outspoken guy. He is not scared to go online and regardless of who you are, what you are, what you do, share his opinion. So if you wanted to set up a council and have it do what you want it to do, do you invite Gary Nolan onto it? Because he doesn't seem the type of guy who's going to shut up when you tell him to. So again, that seems like a positive in terms of what they want to achieve. Kevin Knuth, Matthew Shigadis, a lot of these folks, really interesting people, and it's a big board. So I think Peter's just looking at it from a point of view of give it time. It's been set up for a reason. It's not just, and this is what I wanted to know. This isn't just let's do something else while we've got these files on the go. There's reasons this stuff's being set up, and they might not necessarily all be public yet, and we might not know them, but it does look like there are hands being forced in the background with this, because we are seeing some organizations being more transparent now than they have been. For example, the FBI seems to be quite cooperative with a lot of the files that are dropping in these tranches. Whereas you've got other organizations like the CIA who are not being cooperative and perhaps are pushing back a lot on this as well. So for me, again, and Peter being involved in it, I'll give it time. I'd like to see results or action off the back of it. But if we're sitting here in December, Pavel, and we haven't heard anything from them, we haven't seen any movement and nothing's really going on, then what's the point?
Yeah, I agree. Another thing that he mentioned was that people keep complaining about Abby Loeb saying that he didn't want classified information or something along those lines. And he made an interesting point that I think can be countered. He said that if we got access to SCIFs and classified information, we wouldn't be able to talk about it. That is half true, I think, because if they go into a SCIF and something they see completely rocks their world, they can at least hint that we have to declassify this, or, you know, and I think that's what the council was put for, you know, and it was kind of a strange response from Peter because, yeah, I want you to get in there because you're supposed to be the trusted person that is going to be there on behalf of the public. And even if you see the classified information that you can't talk about, you can't tell them or tell us, this is important, this needs to be declassified because I think there's something compelling there. I don't think you're violating any NDAs or any laws if you just do that. Do you agree with that?
Partly.
Okay.
I think it's very easy to say, but harder to do. And when you hear, for example, folks like Dylan Borland say they go into a SCIF and they can tell, oh, I grew up on Cherry Street and my favorite ice cream was strawberry. Okay, that's now classified. You can't talk about that anymore. Yeah, but that's nothing to do with UFOs. You can't talk about that anymore. So I get where it seems to be there's a lot of traps involved in this kind of stuff, and you can really be tangled up where you can't really speak about anything. So there is more freedom going with the idea of we don't get access to classified information. Now, we're assuming, though, they aren't trying to get access to stuff that's potentially classified or partly declassify stuff, or that maybe they've asked. I mean, do we actually know, Pavel, that they haven't asked to be in those SCIFs?
I reported last week that Dr. Abby Loeb did a bunch of FOIA requests right after the week of the disclosure forum. I don't know what information he got there in those meetings, who he spoke to. We know he was with Gerb on the Fresh Freedom podcast. And I know that according to information that I have, that he... the people who received the FOIA from the intelligence committee were not happy that he got really excited about sending so many FOIA requests. So they're trying, I think.
Yeah. How do we know that Avi hasn't been taken into a SCIF and shown videos and told, this is what you're going after? What it's a little bit like, you know, in school when you had to do a maths exam and it would say, okay, solve for X. And it would show you the answer is like 97, but you had like 12 marks and you had to show your working. I was always really bad at finding where are 12 things I can put down to get from here to here. I know the answer, but the working bit, and maybe that's what they're saying to them. You guys know the answer to this. You know this is legitimate. We can't show you the working. Maybe what we can do, though, is, you know, when your teacher would come over to you and go, Pavel, have you tried, you've got Y down here, but have you tried getting rid of that and maybe trying something a little, and they just nod you in a different direction? Maybe they're going to be nodded in the right direction. Maybe they want them to start working on it. And then you would think, if you've got your Kevin Knuth, Gary Nolan, Peter Skafish, Avi Loeb, and again, sorry, Tim Gallaudet's on there, isn't he? And a host of other names. Surely they know enough little bits and pieces between them that if they work together properly, they will be able to get further forward on this. Or maybe they have literally taken Avi into a SCIF and went, Avi, here's what you're going after. You need to dig in amongst the unclassified stuff to find this, though. And there is stuff there, but we can't help you. You need to work it out. They're problem solving a question they know the answer to, but they're being told that you guys have to go and find the question.
Yeah. Who knows? It's likely. Yeah.
I don't.
What else from that interview? Well, about Avi though, what is your take on Avi's being appointed that? Because if you ask me, selecting Gary Nolan would have been much less difficult, and it would have had a much less divisive reaction from people. What do you think of Avi as the lead in this, and why do you think they probably didn't pick Gary? Because he's so outspoken, as you said.
That probably. Would you? Avi seems to me a little more conformative and less reactive, less reactionary, maybe, than Gary would be. Gary, again, this is Gary Nolan for me, just from the outside looking in, is already more involved in this topic than Avi is. He seems deeper rooted in the topic than Avi. He seems like he has a lot more personal relationships and personal connections than Avi does. So would you want him leading or helping out? And maybe they asked Gary, maybe Gary said no, and that's genuinely pure speculation. Maybe they reached out to Gary, to Peter, to Avi, to many folks and said, would you be interested in heading this up? And maybe folks went, look, I don't have the time to head up. Because we forget, most of these folks themselves are multi-disciplinary.
They have day jobs.
Yeah, they've got day jobs and night jobs and weekend jobs and then jobs on top of that and then jobs that they're not allowed to talk about and then side projects that they're not allowed to talk about that are funded heavily. So to then be like, do you want to do this as well? It's like, oh, fuck, another WhatsApp group, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they're like, nah, not for me. So I don't know, but it seems like Avi's maybe a better fit for that role. Have you ever went for a job or a promotion and thought you were the best guy for it and you're like the best guy at your job, but actually someone else gets it because they're seen as a better team leader? They're not better at the job than you, but for this particular role, they're seen as a better candidate. Maybe that was Avi.
Yeah. That makes sense. I don't know still what to think on Avi, but hopefully they do right by the people. And hopefully that they continue issuing FOIA requests like that and they can be a little bit, you know, take us through the process and not keep us in the dark, because I think that's going to build trust, I believe. I don't know. Do you think they will do that?
I don't know. This is something I've struggled with because, again, I suppose from a US perspective, and we can both say this, we're not US citizens. Well, I don't think you are you? Like, I'm not. Like, they don't owe us anything. This is funded by the US taxpayer. So I get a lot of folks in the US tend to use that, don't they, that you're servants, you're doing a job for us, this is our tax dollars. So the US population deserve answers, deserve updates. Are they going to give that though? Is there anything in their mandate that states we're going to get updates? And then so, how's that going to work?
Little pushback on that. I do think that they have to give people from other countries of the world answers. They do owe people from other countries, because if this is true, if what happened is true, if the Office of Global Access is actually doing what they claim to be doing, that means that they violated jurisdiction from every country where they picked up these things. So they need to answer to people from other countries where they violated jurisdiction, if this is true. If it's true.
Morally. But then that's nothing to do with the Scientific Advisory Council. Because they are just taking a case and information and going, we are trying to.
I'm talking about the government specifically, not the council.
So, but that's what I mean. So this isn't the council's responsibility for me. And I'm not saying I wouldn't like them to do that. Of course, I would love them to do daily Zoom calls that you can jump on where they talk about their work, but they're not going to do that. But again, like a lot of things that are happening just now, whether it's the, like right now, Pavel, when's the next drop of UFO files?
2 weeks.
Maybe.
1 week.
Okay.
Maybe.
So it was 2 weeks, it was 3 weeks, it was 4 weeks. Is it 5 weeks to the next one? Are we going to go back the way? Is there a date set up? We don't know. We don't know what's coming out. We still don't know how that process works. So yeah, these things are being set up, but that's perhaps what the council have still to do. Maybe they're still doing that where they're working through how is this even going to work? You know, and then I think there's a connection there with the whole Stephen Miller situation in the United States where, what's Stephen Miller's position again? Do you remember?
I don't know. But I know what he's allegedly doing related to this. He's trying to get out the whistleblower protections through an executive order, which, according to the information, is that it's already written, it's already drafted.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know.
I'm hearing Miller's quite, regardless of anything else he does politically or as a person, if he's not on your Christmas card list, folks, I'm hearing, Pavel would do the trust me bro thing, that Stephen Miller is a guy who is actually pushing this quite a bit behind the scenes. And if you're if you're purely looking at disclosure and progress and news coming out, then he's not necessarily a bad person, it seems, at the moment to be fronting that up. Are you hearing the same?
I am. Yep.
So then...
Still don't like him, though.
No, and I said this, bad guys do good things and good guys do bad things. It's not a black and white world, unfortunately. I used the example, I talked about Crash, didn't I, last week, the movie?
Yeah, you did.
Really, really good, because I got it wrong. Matt Dillon, wasn't it? Where the cop who's like assaulted a woman and then he saves her from a crash. And yeah, she's about to die, but he saves her life. Does it excuse what he'd done before? No.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Does he do a good thing? Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So I get it. I get folks from all points of view.
It's how it is.
Yeah. Purely from a UFO perspective, it seems behind the scenes that he's pushing things forward. And maybe you don't need nice guys doing this kind of stuff. Because it doesn't seem like they're up against nice guys who are keeping it secret. So, yeah.
So, let's move on to the UAPDA, if you're okay with that.
Yeah,
because Douglas Dean Johnson released a report, or the House Rules Committee appears poised to permit consideration of Representative Burleson's revised UAP Disclosure Act amendment when the fiscal year 2027 National Defense Authorization Act returns to the House floor. The bipartisan amendment sponsored by Reps Eli Crane, Andre Carson, Anna Paulina Luna, Jared Moskowitz, and Nick Begich has now been designated made in order, quote unquote, with the Rules Committee scheduled to meet Monday to revise the NDAA's floor procedures. The 62-page proposal retains the core provisions of the original Schumer-Rounds legislation, which is an independent presidentially appointed UAP Records Review Board, a centralized UAP records collection at the National Archives, a presumption of public disclosure for relevant government records, and explicit references to non-human intelligence, legacy programs, and technologies of unknown origin. And finally, eminent domain authority over recovered technology or biological evidence controlled by private entities. So they didn't take, or they don't plan to take out, the eminent domain part. What do you think about this?
I think there's still a lot of trepidation from folks who they're happy to see that it's there. And once again, in some way, shape or form being put back through, a lot of folks are still expecting it to be voted down and that it won't pass. I know in the past that's been looked at as a way to smoke out who's voting this stuff down and who's against it, because it then lets Congress go after potentially, okay, so Pavel, you voted against this, but you were always quite, you know, privately you've said to me you were going to vote for it, and now that it's come up, you've voted against it. So now I'm going to look into who funds you, who's backing you, who's advising you to vote against it. And it kind of lets that kind of stuff come to the fore. I don't know. This is what the fourth time something in this format is going to go through, the third or fourth time now. They've had various attempts. We've known these bills have been in the pipeline. At this point, I don't know. Would I be shocked if it gets put through? A little bit, yeah. I'm still expecting it to get voted down. But it does look like they're battering the door as many times as they can to see if they can get something through.
This is what happens with legislation in the US. That's how it takes like 3, 4, sometimes 5 years to get something passed, regardless of what the topic is or what they're covering. There are some bills that have never passed that they keep trying to get them on every year and they haven't passed. So it's hard to say, really. I think that there's a lot of the approach with this UAPDA that some parts are not willing to give away some of the provisions. Like, for example, there's always like a safeguard to give the president or some other entity the ultimate decision. And that takes away the power from the whatever they put out as a council, you know. It takes away the decision power. And I think that's not okay. The whistleblower protections are still not convincing for a lot of the whistleblowers who have read this one. And there's a number of things, right? The eminent domain part, I think, is a big one too. And that's always going to be contested.
Yeah.
So I've been hearing a little bit about a different bill that is already, some people already have it in their hands. There's a couple of whistleblowers that I know have it in their hands. There's a congressperson who I know has it in their hands. And it's called the Reality Transparency Act. It was written by an American. And I think that I went through it a little bit. It's going to become more public as the weeks go by, but it's called the Reality Transparency Act, and it does address a number of the issues that haven't been fixed from the UAPDA yet. I don't know. I think that the reason why there's not a lot of people paying attention to it, even though it's already passing through hands, I think it's because they want to see how this one goes, and then if it doesn't pan out, I think this is going to be discussed more strongly, but just write it down, the Reality Transparency Act.
What's the requirement for, what's the thinking behind it being required then with the UAPDA still in place? So for example, UAPDA gets voted down, they bring this in. What does this do that one doesn't?
In my opinion, in terms of the whistleblowers, it does give them way better protection from non-official channels that retaliate against them, which is threats and all this stuff. I think it covers that. It introduces a couple of terms that I found really interesting. And I think it, because those like back doors that are set up in the UAPDA, I think this one, for the most part, gets rid of those backdoors, and it gives power to the bodies that are like at the time investigating that. There are many things. It's like 60 plus pages too, but it's really very different from the UAPDA. It takes a lot from the UAPDA, but it changes also quite a bit.
So you think it's a good thing then?
I think that if this one keeps not working, we should look at other options. That's what I think.
And the name of it's interesting, the Reality Transparency Act. So yeah. When you've got your Jeff Nusitelli, Matthew Brown, Dylan Borland, guys like this saying reality is classified, and then you've got the Reality Transparency Act coming in, that would indicate to me that those guys are involved, perhaps, or are they the inspiration for it?
Perhaps they might be an inspiration for it. I would give you that, but I don't think they're involved. That's not the information that I have.
Okay. But do you know anything on the title of that act and why it's called Reality Transparency Act?
It has to do with what Jeff Nucitelli says, but Jeff is not involved. But yeah, it has to do with how there's been an overclassification of things and how to get rid of that, those mechanisms from, I think, from the core, from the core. If I'm honest with you, I don't think that they're going to pay attention to it. If it grabs a lot of traction, I would be surprised, but I think it's a better one than the UAPDA. The UAPDA has pretty much all the sponsors from Congress and the Senate that is going to have. And this one is just a brand new idea, I think, that is already being passed around. And I liked it. I think it's better than the previous one. It's not perfect by any means, but it is better, I think, especially for whistleblowers and and for the overclassification aspect.
And is that ultimately then what you hope any of these political pieces of legislation actually accomplish or achieve, as protection for whistleblowers? Because I don't see how they force through any other sort of change. And even then, if I put myself in the shoes of one of these whistleblowers coming forward who right now hasn't spoken out, and I look at what Dylan Borland has said, Matthew Brown has said, David Grush has said, what they've experienced and others, it doesn't look like it's going to be a good thing for me to come forward. They might be encouraging me to do it because they've taken that step, but it still seems easier to stay quiet and not have retaliations. Because what does a piece of legislation do that stops retaliations? Because don't these shadowy enterprises and governments and private individuals do this stuff anyway? And that's the whole point of the intimidation tactics and that kind of is that not what goes on anyway?
I think that when it's more public and people read it, are going to understand a little more. For now, that's all I can give you. And people, that's all I was allowed to say, really. And not as necessarily as in, oh, you can't say this, but it's like, it's already coming out. I just asked if I could say the name and a few things that I know about it. And they told me that, yeah, so.
Okay. I'm good with that. But again, yep. Let's see what happens. I'm not hopeful these acts getting through or past.
Me neither, man.
Ultimately, mean a great deal. But again, if it does help a whistleblower or someone come forward, or it does genuinely protect them, then yeah, I'm all for it. I just don't think, from a disclosure perspective, that these are going to push that forward in any great way, shape, or form. But yeah, maybe it's just another piece of the puzzle that's required to genuinely do something. I don't know.
It's either that or the alleged executive order to protect whistleblowers. If that happens, that would be massive, I think, right?
Yeah, 100%, yeah. But again, we're waiting. Why not now? Like, why isn't the time right at the minute?
Yep. Politics.
But the Iran thing just keeps coming back.
Politics.
The US is back at war with Iran for the 18th time in the last couple of months, as I seen at the fuel pumps today going past. So, yeah, the genie can very much go back in the bottle in some way, shape, or form. But, yeah, you mentioned Jeff Nucitelli before. Should probably mention about Vanguard.
Oh, yeah. He was just announced as in a new position at Vanguard. So
I've got it here. Do you want me to read it out?
I got it. Yeah, you can read it, but I wanted to use the screen share. I got it. Okay, here it is. Okay. Can you see that? It's too...
I mean, I've got it on my screen to my left as well anyway.
Okay, cool.
I mean, it's pretty small for anyone who's watching it on anything that's not a 55-inch.
You can read it if you want. We'll just leave it there, but you can read it.
Yeah, so from Vanguard Enterprise, Vanguard is proud to welcome Jeff Nucitelli as our Chief Development Officer and newest member of the Board of Directors. A U.S. Air Force veteran, congressional whistleblower, and longtime public servant, Jeffrey brings more than two decades of military and federal leadership experience to our mission. In 2025, Jeffrey testified under oath before Congress regarding UAP incidents he investigated while serving at Vandenberg Air Force Base. He has since become a respected advocate for government transparency, witness protection, and lawful disclosure. As Chief Development Officer, Jeffrey will lead Vanguard's strategic development, fundraising, and partnerships, helping us build the nation's premier organization dedicated to supporting UAP whistleblowers and their families. Please welcome us. Please join us in welcoming Jeffrey to the Vanguard team. And a lovely shot of Jeffrey Nusatelli there alongside the Vanguard symbol.
I really like Jeffrey, man. He's a really cool guy. He's been on the show twice, and I think he's been on your show as well. If there's somebody who should be part of this, I think it's somebody like him, because he's very diplomatic with everybody, and I really like that about him. He can speak to anyone, regardless of what they believe or which quote-unquote side they're in, and I really appreciate that from people like him.
Yeah. What do you make of the Vanguard badge? Have we talked about this before?
The logo?
The logo, yeah.
Yeah, that has like a pyramid in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got the sunrise over the earth, and then in the top right-hand corner, like a pyramid structure hovering in space.
Let me share it again right here.
Yeah. So it's a pretty interesting badge.
Yeah, I saw Dylan Borland on X kind of laughed at people pointing out the pyramid in it because of the whole pyramid power source information that they relayed with Corbell. And he laughed at it. I don't know if that was intentional on the logo, but certainly very interesting.
Yeah, cool badge. I'd like to hear more from those guys. Like I say, I hope... I know right now Weaponized seems to be on a little bit of a mini break. I imagine the first time we hear back from them will be with George and Jeremy. I think if you're going to launch an organization, and I've said this to both Dylan and Matthew, if you're launching an organization and you're looking for public support, especially financial, I think coming out and speaking on the organization is really useful. Posting on social media is only going to get you so far. Personally, I would love to see them both on like Joe Rogan, for example, and have that exposure and that audience to tell their stories, tell the story not only of what happened to them, but what happened since, and why they felt they have to be in a position to launch Vanguard at all.
And this goes for all UFO personalities that are trying to do stuff like this. And also, for example, Dan Farah with his movie, and whoever's trying to do stuff like this, trying to promote this idea that only going to mainstream media outlets or people with huge followings is the way to go. I vehemently disagree with that. I think that it is very important, of course, because it gives you, gets eyes on you that probably weren't looking at the topic in the first place. But I also think that all of these people who are going out on media tours and all that, they need to also speak to the more niche sort of side of media. And a lot of these people don't understand that. Dan Farah didn't understand that. He's only going to the mainstream stuff, into the large following. And I guarantee you, Andy, had he gone to like your show or other shows like this, I think that the reception from people would have been very differently, especially from the UFO community than it was. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it seemed very protected, and it came across as a little bit like the UFO community was above that level of conversation. I think the UFO community, if you take away those buys for his documentary, it's nowhere near the top 20, let alone top one on those documentary platforms. The UFO community made Age of Disclosure as a documentary. People outside of the community, very few of them, I'm sorry, would have watched it or did watch it. I had a few people try and argue otherwise with me in a few group chats, telling me how much their friends enjoyed it. Your friend who has no interest in the UFO topic did not enjoy an hour and 40 minutes of talking heads with no footage of UFOs interspliced between. I don't believe that.
Yep.
The odd person maybe, but I really struggled to get anyone to watch it, and I offered to pay for people to watch it.
Yep. So I said I wasn't going to touch this, but I am, because you mentioned that you wanted to at least mention it.
Yes.
We're going to play We're going to play a clip from yesterday's Q&A on Reality Check, where Ross Coulthart addresses a document. I think it's debunked. I think it's a hoax, but he doesn't. And let's talk about it. Here it is.
Ross, love your work on Reality Check. I wanted to ask if you've ever uncovered the definitive story behind the 2007 Karet Isaac drone hoax. This was a highly sophisticated 50-page leaked technical report detailing the reverse engineering of an extraterrestrial arc-shaped craft complete with self-executing geometric code engraved on its surface. While it's widely known to be a hoax, the sheer level of engineering jargon and advanced 3D modeling required a massive investment of time and skill. Do you or your sources know who actually created this? And more importantly, why? Was it just an elaborate art project, a discarded viral marketing campaign, or something else entirely? Thanks for keeping it rigorous. Cheers from France, Bruno.
So Bruno, you start with what I would call a confirmational bias. You say it was a hoax, categorically, definitively, widely known to be a hoax. Why do you say that? Is it because there are people online who just say it's a hoax? I actually don't agree. I think there's something to the Karet PACL documents, and I've been taking a very close interest in them, and I was really intrigued to see your question, because I do think the Karet story is an interesting one. There are a number of inconsistencies. There is no known PACL facility that existed in that part of Los Angeles at the time. But of course, if they were operating covertly out of a government building, a nondescript building in some part of suburbia, that would be consistent. These documents are intriguing. And I'm hoping we might be able to show some images here of these documents, because what you see are photographs in the document. It's allegedly a leaked document from the Palo Alto Karet Laboratory in California. And Karet was short for Commercial Applications Research for Extraterrestrial Technology. And the materials include technical reports, diagrams of alleged extraterrestrial artifacts, technology, and pages of an alien symbolic language or script.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Okay, so what do you think about this case? Last I checked, it was a hoax. Somebody came forward and confessed that they did the whole thing, and that it has to do with animation projects, something along those lines. And I still don't get why there's always like this correlation with that image and Tom DeLonge. Why is that? I'm lost there a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not too sure myself. And do you know what? I saw a lot of folks in the comments on, even right now on the YouTube channels, but online, who weren't happy at Ross being a little derogatory around, because people are saying it's speculating online. Anyone in this topic who comments on it or hosts news channels or podcasts or writes about it, you have to entertain a degree of speculation at some point, because a lot of the topic is that. So I don't think the tone was necessarily fair there. I really enjoyed watching Ross's interview with Max. I can't remember the gentleman's surname. Last week on the monoliths on Mars and the moon and stuff like that. There's a lot of speculative stuff there, though. So it's not fair to host that on one hand and then on the other hand outright dismiss someone else because they say it's widely considered to be hoaxed, because a lot of folks do think that. I've seen a few things, including that the drone photographs show indications of CGI and repeated digital grain. The classified reports lacked convincing security markings, technical depth. The science is vague, sounds more like science fiction. And there was a website I was on earlier too, where I say the person who claims to have originally done this said they used things like ice cream tubs. It was like a sketch they were doing on their desk, and they used ice cream tubs and peanut butter tubs of different sizes to literally draw the circular graphs and make some of the marks, and that's why it is the way it is. And that they then found this guy had taken it online and put it on as some kind of alien drawing and symbolism, and that's just not the case. Let's be fair, though. You can't on one hand say this isn't real because it looks really suspicious, but then when someone creates a random little website with an article on it, they write themselves to say, I done this with ice cream tubs and peanut butter. Well, that's not proof either. So I've not dug into it massively, but it's one of those, I considered it to be a hoax because of things I had seen and the amount of commentary around it. It's also very difficult to prove that it's genuine or real. How can we do that? Is it any different to in 2026, someone jumping on Reddit and doing one of those massive posts where it's, you know, the kind of LARP, the live action role play stuff, folks.
The 4chan whistleblower.
Yeah. You know, I'm a top secret TS-59 clearance, and I've actually been working on the underground mobile water base that creates the Tic Tacs, and I'm coming in forward and hope to share. And they do want all this great detail, and especially now with ChatGPT and things like that, it's difficult. Yeah. It's really difficult. But I think you've got to kind of look at both these things in the same vein and go, could it be absolute bollocks? Yes. Could it be something that's legitimate? Maybe. But also, could it be something that has some element of truth to it that's just been messed with to protect that? Because in the same episode, Ross Coulter is asked about, has he seen any evidence online, any legitimate photographs that he believes or others believe to be legitimate non-human intelligence, basically aliens, but it's real? And he said yes. Speculative, though. You don't know. So, and he also wasn't very complimentary of Dan Cleary's question about why they've not covered a lot on falsification.
Yeah, that was weird, right?
Yeah. Again, I don't know. Is it a little bit protective because it's not been covered there first? I don't know. But again, just with this kind of stuff, when it's other people's questions work and that's someone's opinion, don't shoot it down offhand. Then again, I kind of shot down the whole Psy Games fork to a metal door thing, but that's just me, folks. You know, opinions are like arseholes. Everyone's got one. So yeah.
Yep.
It's one
true
of those
words
interesting spoken. It's interesting if true, isn't it? I hold it as legitimate or likely as the whole Andrew Basiaggio time traveling adventures with a young Barack Obama onto the moons of Mars and stuff like that. You know, fascinating and fun to listen to, but is it legitimate? Almost definitely not.
Yeah, agreed. So you had questions?
Yeah, I think we've covered most of them here, to be honest. But very quickly, I suppose I could do it in quick format with you, Pavel. So the Carrot documents, give us a one-line summary of your thoughts on them that we've just discussed.
When I first looked at them, because I have the report, I found them interesting. And then I started asking around because I'm fairly new at when I asked around them about them, I was even more new than I am now. And I feel comfortable saying that the people that I spoke to are in a position to know better than me about these documents, and they don't consider them to hold any weight. So I just stopped paying attention to that entire case, even though I still have the document on me. Now, Ross saying this, I guess that if something new comes up, I'm going to look at it, obviously, but for now, it's still a hoax to me.
Yeah, that was more than one line, but thanks for the answer. And that was from Stormy, so thank you to Stormy, who does the admin on the Discord for me. Clayton also had asked about the documents. Nick, your thoughts on Bledsoe sticking shit to walls? It's literally what he said.
Damn. I prefer not to comment on that because, you know, not to comment on that.
Well, give me a yes or no. You don't need to comment. Did he legitimately stick that to the wall with his mind?
I don't think that's real. No.
Okay. Cool. That'll do me. Gordon, where do you think we are with the Grush 90-day window, which ends on the 8th of August? Gordon managed to work it out for us.
Oof. If we get something, I said it before here, I think it's probably going to be about that 1952 stuff. And that interview that Grush probably hasn't recorded yet with Jake Tapper, I don't know what he's going to say there, but if that comes out, hopefully he's going to say stuff that he's never said before. Maybe.
You said that's not been recorded. I thought the understanding was it had been recorded, but just not released.
No, I actually asked I asked Leslie Kane, just to be clear. Mm-hmm. And she said that it hasn't been recorded. It was postponed, but it hadn't been recorded when I asked, which was like almost 2 weeks ago. So maybe it has been since.
Okay.
Yeah.
Algo asks, it seems clear to me that billionaires have special access to the White House. Shouldn't we assume that if there is a UFO secret, those billionaires would get access to those secrets before we all do? Anyway, some of the billionaires seem to see space as the next frontier. Do you see clues that big money is getting privileged access to UFO secrets right now?
I mean, and on Doomer Friday, we've been talking about this for a while. And there's other people from the community who have been talking about this. Different angles they take sometimes, but it's essentially the same thing. It's, yes, there's actually urgency or concern that Elon Musk, Peter Thiel, Alex Karp, this other guy from Anduril, that they probably already got a whiff that something is going on and that they're working behind the scenes to try and get some of that. Yeah, I'm worried. Everybody should be worried about that. That's probably one of the biggest concerns that anybody should have about the topic, that if this technology is real and it's in the aerospace company's hands and it is going to be transferred to the tech bros, I don't want that to happen. I don't think anybody does if you're following this topic. It should be for everybody. It should be public, not used to keep monetizing reality as it has been.
Can you put the Wrath of Cant Evans question on screen just so we can answer that in a second, because I'm going to forget and I can't.
Yes.
On the tech bro thing, but is that not how it's always worked? Is that not just how modern civilization has worked, that the wealthy and powerful and those at the head of companies, before we had tech bros and social media and the internet, they were still the guys who had the influence, the access, and were always going to be there first? It doesn't make a difference. Things have moved on now as a society and technologically, you know, that's just the way it is for me. And I think the whole thing with space being the new frontier, I don't think that's necessarily been UFO related. Perhaps there is an element of that, but I think there's a huge element of, if you can be the first people to commercialize space and have either transport, you can have mining operations going back and forward to the moon. If you can get all, if you can mine comets, you know, you hear about these comets that are full of gold or silver or whatever the fuck else, you know, Coca-Cola, to bring back, then you'll be worth billions or trillions of dollars if you can spend the money in doing this. And then commercially, again, if you can be Elon Musk and you can be the guy who puts tens of thousands of satellites in space, you've got this ready-made network for any intelligence agency on the planet who wants to buy it off you or piggyback off it for the highest bidder. You know, you've got the you've literally built the foundation for someone to come and build their house. You've done so much of the hard work for them.
You know, at the end of the day, I think the tech bros today are the old families from that era. Yeah. It's just changed the whole aspect of it, but it's essentially the same thing. It's the most powerful people in the world are interested in this now, and it seems like it could change hands at any time. And if you trust these tech bros, even though they have been socially engineering the world for the last 20 years, you got to check yourself. Yeah.
Do you think Mark Zuckerberg sets out to make Facebook, though, and become this huge multi-billionaire, trillionaire conglomerate? And No, he starts it to make some money and do his thing, and it turns into what it turns into.
Yeah. But then you get more into those worlds and you get mingled with those old families and the secret societies and all that shit. And you eventually become corrupted. They all do. It always happens. It's what
because
happens.
You don't have a choice.
Power. Yeah. Because they don't leave you a choice.
You've created this thing, this product. It's actually very useful for all this other stuff that you've never thought about. Other people are going to try and come in. We're going to give you this money. Let us get involved. Let us take over. And it goes from there. I suppose that kind of leads on to the question that had been highlighted before. Was it the Wrath of Cantevin? Jesse Michaels just dropped an episode, about a video on the moon. Any theories about what's going on the moon? I've not watched the Jesse Michaels stuff yet today.
Paul and Andy, Jesse Michaels just dropped a video on the moon. Any theories on what has been going on at the moon? You first.
I suppose this is just stuff I like thinking about rather than, it being, this is what I really think. I do think it's interesting, the concepts that the moon is quite unique in terms of being quite an unnatural satellite in the sky, and that it's tidal locked, and that it serves a purpose that isn't just being up there and was once a chunk of the Earth that broke away, and does seem like the whole, the astronauts landed on the moon and it rang like a bell for a long time. And yeah, I like all that. Even going back to the early Apollo missions, where apparently the astronauts said they're watching us, they're on the craters, and there was huge craft observing humans taking their first kind of steps on the moon. Really interesting. I do think it's fascinating that...
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We went there when we did so many times. And then just stopped going. It seems
And they said, we lost the technology. We lost everything. We can't go.
When the code was handwritten by some young woman who was in college or something, wasn't she?
I think Jack Black's mother was in that team, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Like, there you go. And it just seems like we're in a place now where there's reasons for it. I'm all in on... And sorry to just throw this stuff out there, all in on the whole secret space mission stuff. There are definitely missions going back and forward to space, to the moon, further afield by the Russians, the Chinese, and the US that you don't get told about. And I saw someone had posted when I said this online, I can't remember where, but Andy, you would see it from places on the Earth. The Earth is a really big place.
Yeah.
There are plenty of places you could build a launch pad and launch a craft into space, and no one would know what was happening. So many places.
It's so fast.
Your take on the moon?
Well, I had this guy David Velasco on my show once. He's a Chilean writer who goes studying the Mesoamerican cultures and pre-conquest cultures, and he studied the Nazca people and other cultures from around there, the Aymaras too. And there's a lot of lore that is associated with the moon that these cultures have. Many of these cultures have written texts where they talk about, when I say written texts, I mean geoglyphs, essentially, where they talk about a time when there was no moon. And then the moon arrived and people came from the moon. And that's always been a really interesting avenue for me. Now, when it comes to the missions to the moon, I really don't know what happened. I don't know why that happened. I did read Penetration and I found that book really interesting. But whether that happened or not, whatever Ingo Swann says that he did up there, I don't know, man. Hopefully we get more information on that helium-3 mining that this general spoke about on Sean Ryan's show. I think it was last year. That was interesting. Why would a general from the army say that in public. You know, it's just strange.
Yeah. I've got two more questions. One's very much not UFO related, but maybe worth finishing on. First one, though, Russell asked, has there been too much focus on Congress and legislation in recent years rather than UAP events? We are told they are on the increase, yet we tend to focus on the older, well-documented events rather than exploring the ones that are currently reported.
I think so. But, you know, there's this idea that, and it's one of the reasons why I cover what I cover on the channel. There's this idea that there needs to be some sort of official confirmation, not necessarily disclosure. And I agree there, man, because if there is official confirmation from one country that takes it seriously, that's about enough for me to force other countries who have that type of information to probably share theirs. And if it's the US, which historically I think have been one of the countries with the most secrets about this stuff, if it's the US, I think that would encourage other countries. And I don't know, man. I think that my country has been involved in a lot of these operations, if they're real, and they just don't want to talk about them. I remember when I interviewed Jaime Maussan, he was my very first interview in this topic. And I know that Jaime has a lot of connections within the US, within the Mexican government. He has connections directly to the presidency, right? So when I asked him, he was very quick to shut that down. Like, I was like, do you have any type of conversation with the Mexican government about this? Do they know anything about this? He's like, nope, I can't talk about that. And that was it. And that always gives me pause, man, because if it's real, it makes sense that every country at least has one story of something crashing there in their territory.
Yeah. I know Jaime's a very divisive guy, and it does worry me, though, that I think at one point I would have put a lot more credence into folks like that saying that they've got the ear of politicians and government. But then I hear Stephen Greer talking about briefing Luna and Burleson and folks like that, and it makes me go.
He just said he's going to brief Pete Hegseth, just like today, I think. But like, how can you corroborate that? It's impossible.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've got one more question to finish off on, if you've got anything else to say first, though.
No, go ahead.
David had asked us, saying, not UFO related, but I have to ask, what did you think of the Avengers Doomsday trailer?
Oh, I liked it. I think, hopefully.
The one that dropped today, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully, because I have. Because it's the Russo brothers, I do enjoy their trilogy very, very much. So only because it's them, and because we're getting Robert Downey Jr. back, and we're getting Captain America back. Chris Evans. That's probably the only reason why I think, oh, this might be good. And some of the other superheroes that they included in the trailer, I thought was a good idea. Like, I liked that Shang-Chi is involved there. Again, I liked that movie. I actually enjoyed it.
It's all right.
Yeah, what did you think?
Yeah, it looks okay. Marvel over the last couple of years has slowly killed off all the love I had for it. It peaked with Infinity War. Endgame was good. The first Spider-Man after was really decent. The one with Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. And then I think it really slowly went downhill. And then during the COVID years fell off a cliff because of largely with the limited actors and the CGI having to be overused because they couldn't get on sets properly. And like when you go back and watch Ant-Man, is it Ant-Man Quantumania? Whatever the Ant-Man one was after COVID, you notice how often there's only two people ever on screen at the same time because of the social distancing rules. And it was like, it's so obvious. And I worry this one goes so CGI and AI orientated that it ends up looking like shit. I'm intrigued in the story, Doctor Doom stuff. Chris Evans is in there. All the X-Men in there look cool. I'm intrigued to see how they do a lot of that. I hope it's good. I would love to see a bit of a return to form, But yeah, Marvel's killed me off over the years from loving it.
Hopefully that transition from Avengers to X-Men is smooth and we can get proper X-Men, right? Because I grew up reading the comic books and watching the series, and it would really kill me if they did that, if they didn't honor the material.
The original cartoons that you're talking about, the X-Men and the Spider-Man cartoon from the 90s with the guitar riff intros and stuff like that were phenomenal. Yeah. They don't make intros like they did in the 90s anymore. I'm hopeful. I'd love it to be good and for me to go and see it and be like, yes, that's a lot more like the Marvel movies we used to see. But I don't know. I don't know. But yeah. But can I just ask one more thing, Pavel, from all the folks on my feed? Thanks for listening and watching, and all the folks on yours. If you, again, the likes, the comments, and the subscribes on YouTube really make a difference. And if you're on the audio platforms, anyone can leave a 5-star review on your platform. Really also helps out people like us. And if you want to sign up to a paid membership, if you really enjoy it, that also goes a long way too. So thank you very much. And I've enjoyed it, Pavel. These Mondays are good.
Yeah, dude. Let's keep doing it. Next week is your turn.
It's back to my turn, yeah. So again, if you want to get involved, folks, sending over to me.
One thing, though.
Would be really useful. Yeah, yeah.
I am going to, next Monday, I'm going to be coming right out of Comic-Con because I'm going to Comic-Con. I already got my badge, so I may take a few pictures and videos, but if I don't, just know.
Awesome. No, that sounds good. Yeah. But yeah, listen, that's us, folks. Pavel, do you want to wrap up, man? Your show.
Yeah, man. You know what to do with the liking and subscribing and all that that Andy said. I want to thank you guys for being here and bearing with me because my voice is killing me right now because of the illness. And thank you to Andy for being a fucking champion and reading all the comments and the questions. Thank you, man. That was really good. And you know what to do, guys. Stay curious and inquisitive like Andy from That UFO Podcast. See you later. Bye, Andy.
Bye.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Nearly
forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.